This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Let's talk to Buster only about that and more from ESPN, kind enough to join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Buster, always a pleasure having you on the program. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Enjoying Florida, and we're doing broadcast down here, and tomorrow we got the Red Sox and the Braves at 1 o'clock, so fired up for that.
Did you go to Florida in shape, or is this like, are you still sort of doing verbal jumping jacks?
No, sure this is ready? 100%. You can hear like the halting part of my voice. Like, I still have to work through and get more seamless. I need my reps on the microphone to get to more practice, but I think by March 28th, I'll have it figured out.
What do you take or make of the idea that the pitching clients of Scott Boras are not in camp?
That the teams were not as aggressive as he anticipated that they would be. I know from talking with executives around the sport who are watching this play out, and they feel like he's in a real bad place with Snell and with Montgomery. I know the individual teams will talk about the television money not being as great. The perception of Montgomery is that he wanted to go back to either the Cardinals or the Texas Rangers. And obviously the Rangers have not really done anything that big this wintertime. And the perception is because of the uncertainty with their television money. That dynamic has played out with a lot of teams across the sport, and he's in a tough spot with Snell, because with Bellinger and with Matt Chapman, he could sell them on the idea of, you know, taking a short-term deals that they could opt out after 1 year. That's a hard sell for someone coming off a Cy Young Award season the way that Snell is.
So I guess my bigger picture question is, does it look like he's going to take legitimate L's? And is this maybe, I don't want to say the beginning of the end of Scott Boras as being the guy that controls everything, but is this maybe a little bit of a marking point when it comes to Scott Boras being the guy that gets what he wants, it seems?
No. He's going to be back in the news next winter when he has Juan Soto.
That'll make up for a lot of missed ground.
He's going to get a huge contract for him. And here's the deal too. Scott has enough big contracts that it's a little bit like if Theo Epstein, now that he's the advisor role, I'm putting that in quote marks. He's obviously going to be more than that with the Red Sox. Even if the Red Sox finish last place for the next 3 years, guess what? Theo's still the general manager who conquered Mount Everest and K2 in winning World Series with the Red Sox and Cubs. It's not going to change his legacy. Scott's the same way. Like, Scott's place in baseball history is cemented, and whether or not he, you know, makes mistakes or has a rough winter isn't going to affect his legacy within the sport.
Buster Olney with us from ESPN on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. $400 million, $500 million, can it be that outrageous for Juan Soto next year?
It's going to be pretty damn high, and it might threaten, I think it has a chance to threaten what Ohtani got, which the real number is 461. It's not $700 million. That's a mirage number because of all the deferred money in the contract. The present-day value of Ohtani's deal is 461, and Soto's already turned down something like that. You know, Aaron Judge got 360 from the Yankees. Now, you would assume the Yankees are going to be involved when the season's over. I was in Mets camp yesterday before an exhibition game against the Yankees, and the absolute feeling there is the Mets are going to take a run at it too. With those two teams alone, and, you know, who knows, there might be other clubs that will get involved. I think there is a chance he's going to pass Ohtani's number, and if he doesn't, he's still going to wind up with a huge contract.
I don't know if he was in Port St. Lucie. Have you seen Giancarlo Stanton yourself, and what's the reality of what he looks like as to how thin he is?
He was not there. You know, we got the Yankees the day game after the night game, back-to-back road games. So we basically got two major leaguers, guys who are established in the big league with the lineup. but of course asked around a lot about Stanton, and what I got back was he looks completely different. And his weight loss is something in the range of 20 pounds. He wanted to make his body more streamlined. You know, according to Eduardo Perez, who worked with him with the Marlins, when he was younger, you know, he would do basically weight training with bands. But then he got into some heavy lifting. He got really big. Well, now he's slimmed down in an effort to, you know, hope that he can avoid the sort of soft tissue injuries that have just overwhelmed him in recent years. You know, and the sort of the flare point, as you guys know, during the wintertime was when Brian Cashman was asked about Stanton, and he said, well, you know, he's missed a lot of games because of injuries. And, you know, it was perceived that Stanton was not happy with that. Well, guess what? Brian was just telling the truth. Like, Stanton's missed a lot of injuries, and whether it was that statement or whether Stanton was going to do it on his own, it's pretty clear he put a lot of work in the winter to try to play more games.
I think it's going to take a World Series title, but are you willing to say that Chris Sale could be talked about as the most important acquisition this offseason if the World Series title happens?
Oh, no doubt about it. Look, you know, it's interesting. I'm in the midst of collecting a poll on a number of questions for executives around baseball. And one of the questions is, who's the best head of baseball operations in the sport? And you guys are not going to be surprised that Alex Anthopoulos is getting some votes. And what one of the general managers said to me was, he said, Alex is relentless with his imagination. Like, he thinks of things that he wants to do, and he pushes and pushes and pushes and pushes and finds a way to make things happen. And in fact, the saying in one of the other front offices is, what would Alex do? In terms of think like Alex thinks, try to think like Anthopoulos thinks like. And look, if you're a team and you're convinced that Chris Sale is healthy, and I know from talking with Alex, that's how they feel about it, then he's a great pitcher. He pitches with a chip on his shoulder. He's a great competitor. The velocity that he's shown this spring, the breaking ball he's shown this spring, really promising.
Buster Olney from ESPN. Well, speaking of Braves pitchers, what do you make of, and you've been around a lot of spring trainings, we all have, what do you make of the curveball? What do you take out of what Spencer Strider is doing with that, experimenting with that pitch thus far?
The first thing I thought of was a conversation I had with Max Scherzer. I want to say it was back in 2013. And Max, his repertoire is very similar to Strider's. He doesn't throw as hard as Strider does. But this was relatively early in his career, and I remember Max saying to me, once I got my curveball, I had the whole package. Like, his feeling was, okay, I got it now. I have something that's going to, you know, get left-handers off me a little bit, help me with that hitters on that side of the plate. And sure enough, Max took off after that. And he wondered if this is going to be the same thing for Strider. And it's not a surprise. You know, Strider is smart in the way that Max is. You know, they're both intellectually very curious, and they push themselves. And I know, you know, I had Alex on my podcast recently, and, you know, I asked him about the stuff that Strider said at the beginning of camp when, and I'm paraphrasing here, he didn't say this exactly, but I think you guys would agree with me. Strider's message was, World Series or bust. Like, they know they have a great team. They know this is their window, and Strider's doing everything and saying it out loud and embracing it. I think that's really smart. After, you know, the last 2 years of flaming out in the playoffs.
Alex signed a deal till 2031. It's a contract, but it's done. He signed till 2031. I think it brings his son through his high school years, which is brilliant. That's what he wanted. I'll ask you this. If expansion really happens in baseball, is there anybody that you would call before Alex Anthopoulos to come run your team and organization from minute one?
Well, I think there would be other people that you would consider for sure. I think Eric Neander, and I'm parroting a lot of what I'm hearing while I'm collecting votes in this poll. Mm-hmm. Eric Neander runs the Tampa Bay Rays, does a great job. Given that it's an expansion team, that's a little different than what Andrew Friedman's had with the Dodgers. But you guys remember the job he did with the Rays. I think Chris Antonetti, who runs Cleveland, does a great job. I think Cashman does a great job. And I know him well enough to know that he would be energized by, you know, the challenge of taking on an expansion team. But given the results of the last 4 years, I think most people would say Alex would be the guy he'd hire.
Do you think, guys, we've talked about this on the show, we'll get a few more days off, whether they want them or not in the everyday lineup for the Braves this year?
It's interesting because just yesterday I had a lot of conversations about that very topic with guys in the Mets, you know, in the Mets lineup, you know, Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso. You know, these are guys who want to play every day, and it's something that's remarked upon by a lot of people in other organizations. And I think Lindor yesterday had a great point about players and playing every single day. You know, and Brandon Nimmo said this too. He said, look, there are other ways to cut back on your workload other than not playing in games. Nimmo said to me, you know, you got to focus. The priority has to be playing in games. And it has been noted in a lot of organizations that the Braves have this culture of everyone playing all the time. And it works for them. How could you argue with the result?
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
But Buster, you know where it wouldn't work? If baseball was still stuck in a day and age of every day and every afternoon you go outside and you hit BP and you go do
100%.
All that stuff, it would never work in the old way of thinking about how pregame is supposed to go.
That's exactly right. Lindor has taken it to the degree, and you know, Carlos Mendoza, their new manager, told us this yesterday. You know, normally in the past, you know, sort of old school ways in a spring training game, he would, you know, the players would gradually ramp up their spring training work where they would say on one day, okay, we're going to have 3 plate appearances in 5 innings. We're going to have 2 plate appearances in 4 innings. When he asked Lindor was in front of him sort of doing the calculation. You know what? I had 20 minutes on my feet yesterday. I'm going to go, you know, ramp it up to 30 minutes on my feet today or 40 minutes. Rather than do that old school thing of standing out in the heat, like in Texas, and taking batting practice, because that's the way it's always been done. I think the players are much smarter about what they need to get done. You know, by the end of his career, Buster Posey, to give you an example of this, he had reduced his batting practice to about 10 swings, according to his hitting coaches. Like, he knew what he needed to get done as opposed to, well, you know, I got to take 120 swings to get ready. I think the players are smarter about, you know, doing more with less and getting off their feet. By the way, the pitch clock helps with this too.
Yeah. Yeah. If the games move along quicker, you're not standing out there, you know,
for half an hour less than in the past.
And maybe even the 3 batter minimum thing. Maybe there's I hate that, by the way. I don't think you should tell me how I can win a baseball game. I don't like that part. But if you're talking about wear and tear, and we are going to talk about shorter games, maybe that's included. I don't know if you still like this about the game. You mentioned Juan Soto. He's the poster boy for free agency next year. Pete Alonso is fascinating. Max Fried is fascinating. What I like about the game is we all sit here and try to figure out, well, what would be fair? If you offered Pete Alonso this in March, would he take it? But guys are going to become free agents, and there are stories around free agency that Aaron Nola gets 162. What's Max Fried supposed to get? I'm still sort of fascinated with the idea that nobody really knows how these things are going to go.
No, they don't. You guys remember a few years ago, Jose Ramirez signed an extension with the Guardians, and I can't remember the number exactly, but it was like $120 million. It was probably $100 million less than if he had waited and stayed healthy and gone to the open market, he might have gotten $200+ million. And you know why? Because Jose Ramirez loves playing in Cleveland. When I covered Tony Gwynn, he could have gone out in the marketplace, but he made it very clear he loved playing in San Diego. You know, we just saw Jose Altuve sign another team-friendly extension because he likes playing with the Astros. And his teammate, Alex Bregman, is a Boris client who's going to go out into the marketplace, and he's going to get a lot more money than Altuve. you do never know. The Alonso situation to me is fascinating because it's been almost a decade since we've seen a guy go out and get more than $200 million in free agency who's the first baseman. That position has not been paid in the same way other positions have. And think about it. Freddie Freeman, the deal he has with the Dodgers, has so much deferred money. He's one of the best players in baseball. He got a deal for $140 million. Think what a bargain that is compared to what kind of player he is right now. And so Pete Alonso is going to go into the marketplace, a guy, you know, you can pencil him in for 40 to 50 home runs every year, and he's going to be looking to get a huge number and a lot more money than David Stearns, their head of baseball operations, is willing to pay for a player at that position. Shoot, it was, what, 5-6 years ago? Chris Carter was the Brewers' first baseman, led the league in home runs, and David Stearns non-tendered him, okay? So that negotiation is going to be absolutely fascinating.
What about Max Fried on the open market? What do you foresee?
Well, he's going to do great because just as Zach Wheeler was, I think that those, you know, guys like Max and Zach are kind of becoming like old-school, old-fashioned starting pitchers where you can get them with the idea that, yeah, they're going to take you into the seventh inning. And increasingly, because the way these teams are using starting pitchers, there are not a lot of those guys left. You're going to see numbers dropping on what starting pitchers are being paid because about teams using relief pitchers. It's why I've been really surprised that the union has not been more aggressive in trying to find some way to restore the preeminence of starting pitchers. Max is going to do great. I think the Nola contract, you know, maybe a little bit north of that because he's left-handed. You know, he does have some injury history. I think he's going to get a great contract. There's a lot of assumption around the sport and has been for a while that he probably, you know, will go to the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. But who knows, given all their financial obligations they have, if they can fit him in.
All right, very quickly, what did you think of the Chris Bryant thing? If it is a thing, what do you take out of the whole idea that, well, maybe I made a mistake, and maybe Colorado's not for me. And if I'm a Colorado fan or if I own Colorado, I'm going, you think? Yeah, it's not worked out for anybody at this point. What did you think about him in the public?
Yeah, it's a little bit like Rendon, Anthony Rendon, when he was talking about, you know, baseball's not my number one priority. There are a lot of players who think, you know, the same way that Rendon did, and it was probably, but it was a mistake to say it out loud. Same thing with Chris. I mean, I'd say this, and only Scott knows exactly what the offers on the table were. People around the sport were shocked. At the time Bryant got his contract, and what was the number, like $186 million? $190 million.
For a team that wasn't going to compete.
Right. And people around the sport thought that he would get about half of that. Hmm. He got a great contract with the Rockies. And if, you know, to me, if Chris's goal was to get paid, and that's his prerogative, if that was it, that was the place to go. Because I don't know of any other team that would have gotten close to where the Rockies were with that bid.
All right, two things. Did you know what the shredder was? I know it's not your network, but did you know what the shredder was as we talk about Ozzie Albies around here?
No.
So the MLB network, supposedly Brian Kenny, it seems like garbage in, garbage out if Ozzie Albies was not one of the top 10
it's
second basemen.
It's their computer that determined that Ozzie is not one of the top 10 second basemen in
but
baseball.
But it has a name. I don't think I knew the name.
I don't care what the name is. How can you say he's not a top 10 second baseman?
So, I you know, we are soon to publish our top 100 players in baseball. And I cannot, you know, it's not my place to reveal exactly who's where. All I can say is, first off, and that placement shocked me. Like, how could Ozzie not be in the top 10 second baseman? I think the placement for Ozzie will please you guys. Let me just say that, and especially among second basemen. I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay, but
it's a powerful tease, Buster.
Allegedly, it's called the shredder. And they went to Walt Weiss, who said, hey, man, it's basically garbage in, garbage out if it doesn't have this guy in the top 10 of second baseman.
I don't get it. I didn't get it, and I still don't get it. And I, you know, I haven't gone over there, and you know, I have Sarah Langs on my podcast twice a week, and she's a dear friend, and I just could not bring myself to, like, break her down on it. Like, how did that happen? And I didn't want to put her in a bad position.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's called a mistake. It's called a mistake. Last one. What did you think of Rob Manfred saying he's done in 2029? I don't think that's a real thing.
First off, I don't take it at face value because we saw in the past, you know, other commissioners had talked about, yeah, I'm done after this year, but being one of the at the foremost of that, and then they wound up signing an extension. But the second thing is, I don't think it's as big of a deal as what people make it out to be. I think 50 years ago, the identity of the commissioner was a big deal because the person in that job, and Kenesaw Mountain Landis, when he took over as commissioner after the Black Sox scandal, sort of carved out a very powerful place for the commissioner. The commissioner these days doesn't have that kind of power, right? Fay Vincent was the last commissioner to work that way. The commissioner now, Rob, and I say this with all due respect, I don't mean it disrespectfully, he's a lawyer for the owners.
Right.
And that person who has that job, you know, because I know I've seen Tim Kirchin mentioned for it. I've seen, Theo Epstein mentioned for it. No, the person who has that job needs to be good at labor negotiations, and that's it. And besides that, in terms of real power, it's no more than the White House spokesperson. We've seen that. Major League Baseball is a loose confederacy of 30 individual private owners. And even when you have a situation as embarrassing as the A's situation, the other owners won't step in and say, sorry, big man, you can't act like that and be in our club. No, they just – everyone's kind of on their own, and Rob is the person who goes out and answers questions on their behalf.
I'm going to use the word. It's not. I'm not associating it with you. But I think talking about your retirement in 5 years is beyond douchey. I just think that whole idea is now I'm thinking – you're thinking 5 years out where you're going to have other problems in baseball, and whether he wants to build on his legacy and I'm going to try to do this, and all of a sudden he's going to try to wield power over the owners – I just found it really to be off-putting that we're talking about a retirement or a step away in 5 years when you didn't have to. Like, why even say it? This is like the Chris Bryant, well, Anthony Rendon thing.
I don't, and I was not in the room, so I don't know totally the context. I know Joel Sherman asked the question. He was asked the question, and he gave an answer. So it didn't bother me in that way.
Okay.
I've always been. Like during the last labor issue, you had players talking about, you know, making Rob the target of their furor and Rob hates baseball and this and this and this. And my reaction was, why are you making such a big deal out of this guy? The people that they're really working against, are the owners. Rob is not that person. It would be if you didn't like what was going on in the White House and you're complaining about the White House spokesperson.
Well, Buster, I think after this conversation, you are ready for the regular season. Enjoy Florida. We always appreciate the time, and we'll talk again real soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks
for
having
me. Hey, have you done your World Series picks yet? Like, when does that actually happen?
I did. I tweeted out this morning. And my son, the Braves fan, is greatly relieved because I picked the Phillies to beat the Yankees.
So he's greatly relieved.
Yes, because he knows. Last year, I picked the Padres. Right?
Oh.
So he's really glad that I didn't pick his favorite team to win the World Series.
So Phillies fans, you're now on the list, Buster Olney. Again, thanks for the
time. Thanks, Buster.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
You do the same. Buster Olney from ESPN, one of the best in the business on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.